The title for today's sermon is called Forgiveness Without Limitations. It was prepared by Pastor Paul Drugers. And the passage we're going to read this morning is Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. I assume it's going to be up on the wall. But if you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1527. So that's Matthew 18, 21 to 35. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle the accounts of his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owned 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when this servant fell on his, when this servant went out, he found out one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he said. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went to tell their master everything that had happened. Then the master called in the servant. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The sermon begins with two stories. Dear people of God, it's a most unforgiving story. It's told by Rabbi Joseph Telushkin in his book, Words That Hurt, Words That Heal, How to Choose Words Wisely and Well. It's about a man who lives in a small Eastern European town, unhappy, quite angry with the local church. He thinks its people are all hypocrites and its pastor unable to say or do anything right. For many years, he goes all through town putting down the church and criticizing the pastor. One day, the man suddenly feels quite sorry for what he is doing. He has a change of heart, so he goes to the local pastor and asks him for forgiveness. In fact, the man is so willing to do anything to receive forgiveness. He's willing to do what it takes to set things straight, to make amends. The pastor tells him to take a feather pillow from his home, cut it open, scatter the feathers to the wind, and then return to see him. The man does as he is told. He takes the pillow, cuts it open, throws the feathers into the wind, and then he hurries back to the pastor, and he asks him, "Am I now forgiven?" "Almost," comes the answer. "You just have to do one more thing. Go and find all those feathers from your pillow and gather them back together again. Put them back into your pillow." "But But that's impossible, the man says. The wind has blown them all over the place. I'll never be able to find those feathers so I can put them back into my pillow. Sadly, the pastor does not forgive the man who spoke badly of him and the church. Sure, the man sounds like he is sorry for what he has done. He says he has had a change of heart, but the pastor doesn't forgive him. He doesn't think he is worthy of forgiveness. The second story. Simon Wiesenthal was a young Jewish man during the Second World War. In his book entitled The Sunflower on the Possibilities and Limits of Forgiveness, Simon tells the story of how he struggled to forgive someone. It happened in a Nazi concentration camp in occupied Poland. He'd been assigned to clean garbage in the hospital the Germans had improvised for their wounded soldiers. A nurse comes to Simon and orders him to come with her. Reluctantly, he follows. She leads him to the side of a wounded Nazi Secret Service trooper, not wanting to die before he would come clean. The German soldier asks Simon to lean in close because he can barely speak. He tells a horrific story, how he and other soldiers packed over 200 Jewish men, women, and children into a house, doused it with gasoline, threw grenades into it, and shot anyone trying to escape. All through the confession, Simon says nothing. Simon is of the opinion that this soldier was way beyond his limit of forgiveness. He never answers the man's request. The trooper dies without receiving his forgiveness. Only much later, after the war, Simon admits praying that God has forgiven him, realizing that this trooper too needed forgiveness. Jesus says there's no limit. I don't know what I would have done in Simon's case. These are very difficult situations. But when we are asked to forgive immeasurably, we are asked to do something that's difficult. It can sometimes seem impossible. The Apostle Peter had asked how many times one should forgive. Till 7 times? And Jesus answered, not 7 times, but 77 times. The context of this passage is Jesus teaching his disciples, his followers, the church, you and I, about the kingdom of heaven. Is it true? Can forgiven sinners refuse to forgive others? Can Christians be so unchristian? In a moment of honesty, we need to be able to say, yes. Yes, it is true. We can identify with limiting forgiveness. We can maybe even think of people we simply refuse to forgive. We now come to the parable of Jesus' parable of the unforgiving and unmerciful servant. The servant, whose Lord forgave much, 10,000 talents to be exact, the equivalent of several millions of dollars, was unwilling to forgive another servant who owed him 100 denarii. A denarius was a day's wage that was worth approximately 16 cents. Therefore, compared to what the first servant was forgiven, this was a very small amount. The principle here is the one forgiven much should forgive much. Let me repeat that. The one forgiven much should forgive much. In other words, the principle of forgiveness is that grace or forgiveness to another is without limit. The disciples were not to count the number of times they forgive. Rather, as the parable teaches, they are to forgive much because God has forgiven much. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, Jesus is presenting a new principle that is similar to the basis of forgiveness for believers found in Ephesians chapter 4, where we read, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Because God has forgiven us, we are to forgive others. Because we have received much grace, we are to give grace to others. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are commanded to give that same grace to everyone." In the parable of the unforgiving servant, the first servant's debt was forgiven, and he was not required to repay until his unforgiving nature was discovered. In contrast, our sin debt was paid in full by Christ, and is the only basis for God's forgiveness. We cannot repay our debt to God or earn our salvation. It is a grace. It is a gift of grace. Therefore, in the parable of the unforgiving servant, Jesus is teaching his disciples and us, by extension, that forgiveness should be in like proportion to the amount forgiven. The first servant had been forgiven all, everything. He, in turn, should have forgiven all and everything. In a like manner, a child of God by faith through Christ, that would be us, has had all their sins forgiven. Therefore, when someone offends or sins against us, we should be willing to forgive from a heart of gratitude for the grace which we ourselves are debtors. Forgive what grievances you may have against one another, says the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Christian author Philip Yancey says, "I really wish these words were not in the Bible, but they are, and from the lips of Christ himself. By denying forgiveness to others, we are in effect determining them unworthy of God's forgiveness, and thus so are we. In some mysterious way, divine forgiveness depends on us." Earlier in Matthew 6, Jesus himself said, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." In the heavenly kingdom, forgiveness is not optional. In your and my life, forgiving others is not only necessary, but essential. Says Yancey again, "In the final analysis, forgiveness is an act of faith. By forgiving another, I am trusting that God is a better justice maker than I am. By forgiving, I release my own right to get even and leave all issues of fairness for God to work out." Sure, it's easy to say, forgive because God forgave you. Still, that does not make it easy to do, does it? We need help. We need help forgiving others. We know we have been forgiven, but we can often still use a lot of help with exactly how we go about forgiving others. Again, Jesus does not leave us wondering. In the final verse of our text, we read, "Forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Earlier in Matthew, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." In the same sermon, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Excuse me. The greatest commandment that God has made is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. The heart needs to be right. Yes, that is a required condition. Hearts that store up treasures in heaven, hearts in love with the King, hearts that having embraced and continually seeking to accept immeasurable forgiveness as an answer to immeasurable debt. Yes, this is a challenge. It is challenging. Forgiveness will take work, time. It may involve sacrifice. Remember, the King in this parable is familiar with the struggle, the tension, and the difficulty. After all, the gift of immeasurable forgiveness to immeasurable debt came only through sacrifice, the sacrifice of his son's death on the cross. Up to 7 times? Thank God, no. 77 times, straight from the heart of God. We need to accept and believe the truth that God, through Jesus Christ, totally and completely forgives all our sins. We must be convinced of the truth that so that we do not fall prey to the idea that actually we need in some way to earn forgiveness, to find acceptance from God. Each of us needs to personally experience this immeasurable forgiveness every day of our lives. And so, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Amen. The sermon came with 2 prayers, which I'll read now. One is a prayer of response to the message, and the second one is a prayer of application. So let's continue to bow our heads, and I'll read these 2 prayers. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your rich and wonderful gift of forgiveness. We thank you for your immeasurable forgiveness, a gift so great it is able to cover all our sins, all our brokenness, all our wrongdoing. Help us to ask for it. Help us to embrace it. And help us to live out of it every day. We confess at times we need to admit, sometimes even wanting to demand repayment. As you, Lord, for freely give, so may we give and learn to give more and better as we place our trust, our faith, our hope in you. Heavenly Father, when we reflect on your word and listen to the standard of forgiveness that you require of us, we must admit that we often fall short. Sometimes we may fool ourselves into thinking that the evidence of your Spirit living in us is measured by our religious accomplishments. Thank you, Lord, for your never-ending forgiveness for us. To think that you love us so much that you would give your one and only Son, that we could be with you, is a gift that makes us want to celebrate your wonderful love. God, may we never take your gift of forgiveness for granted. Help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to live lives that reflect your love, mercy, and grace toward others. In the name of our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us.
Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus.